Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning after the night after.
Yeah, we're going to pretend like we're high energy this morning, but we're really not. We're Red Bulling it. Coffee, high energy coffee, because we were all up late last night, probably like a lot of you, following the election results from across the country. And we did get a lot of compliments on our own coverage here on American Family Radio last night. For that, we thank you. We tried our best to present you with the facts, and more than that, you can get the numbers from the wins and losses anywhere, but the analysis that we were able to bring about how this affects our situation in this country, religious freedom, pro-life, judges, illegal immigration, things that people, the economy, taxation, regulation. I need something else for the T-I-O-N, but I can't think of anything right now. So there were a lot of things on the table, as it were, nationally last night with the congressional races, the Senate races, the gubernatorial races. And it was a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. And, Fred, are there any – do we know yet who won Montana and Arizona Senate races?
The answer to that question is no. In Arizona, the Republican there – McSally has a very narrow lead right now. It's too close to call. That, of course, would be a maintaining if she wins there. That is Jeff Flake's seat that he retired from politics, or from the Senate at least. But there's, looking at about a 16,000 vote difference between McSally and Sinema, the Democrat candidate there. And up in Montana, if Rosendale, the Republican, is able to hang on there, that would be a flip from John Tester, the Democrat incumbent. But I tell you what, that is razor thin. We're talking about 3,000 votes between those two. They say there's 85% of the vote has been counted. Now, that is one. I think President Trump visited Montana something like four times during the campaign. He really doesn't like John Tester for a number of reasons. Tester is one of those Democrat senators who voted against Kavanaugh. But also, Tester came out with what was proven to be a false report on the president's nomination for Surgeon General, Dr. Jackson. So there's been tension between those two. So right now, 3,000 votes spread.
Testy.
Yeah, John.
You like that?
Yeah.
See the way I did that?
That's pretty good. Yeah. But also overall, on the Senate, as we were reporting last night, the Republicans picked up three Senate seats from the Democrats. Missouri and North Dakota, North Dakota in particular, Heidi Heitkamp was the Democrat there. She was behind double digits almost the whole campaign.
She'll get a job doing something, though, won't she?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
She's lost her Senate seat, but come on.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want Heidi Heitkamp working in your PR department?
That's right.
Here, you got a complaint? We're going to let you talk to Heidi Heitkamp. She'll make your day.
Even her name sounds
That's what I'm
optimistic.
Saying. It sounds happy and optimistic and sunny. She'll get a job. Yeah, I'm not worried about Heidi.
Yeah. I think she was the former state attorney general there. So
yeah, there you go. Go back to your old job.
There you go.
Just don't be in the Senate blocking judicial appointments.
That's right. Claire McCaskill, the Democrat senator in Missouri, went down to defeat Josh Hawley, the state's attorney general. Boy, I tell you what, he is a Trump man.
Yeah, and he's also a solid believer and family man. I've heard nothing but great things. We asked Tony Perkins last night.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, let me just say this before we move on here. I failed to do what Walker normally does. If you want to watch our show this morning, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. You can watch our show for live from the studio. here in Tupelo, Mississippi, the national headquarters for American Family Radio. And you can also get the stories that we're talking about and engage and interact with other folks who listen to AFR there on Facebook or YouTube. And then we have an app for American Family Radio. So you can download that from your cell phone or your iPad, similar device, take you 60 seconds or so. And you can listen to AFR anywhere you travel across this, well, anywhere in the world for that matter. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to make people aware of that. Also, go to onenewsnow.com because Fred and his team are doing a great job of keeping up to date with the latest election results and stories and news and opinion pieces that you'll appreciate. So use our news service, onenewsnow.com. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead now, Fred.
I suppose the most pleasant surprise for conservatives last night may have been Florida, picking up the Senate seat there. The incumbent, Nelson, has been in the Senate since the year 2000. All the polls during the campaigns had the incumbent Nelson maintaining that seat for the Democrats, but when it was all over last night, that was not the case. The is he current governor of Florida?
I think he is, and he's current governor. He cannot run for a third term, so
right.
I don't think he stepped down from the governorship and from the governor's mansion. He just will continue as governor, I guess, until
he's
the next
in.
Governor mm-hmm. comes in.
Yeah, Rick
and
Scott
goes to the Senate.
It's a pickup for the Republicans.
But now there
Florida.
Is a recount that's been triggered mm-hmm. because overnight the margin slipped to I think 0.4%
yes.
difference, and so less than 0.5%.
Right.
So that's an automatic recount triggered. Mm-hmm. There are some other ballots that have to be counted, but Fox has called this for Scott. So
yep.
I'm thinking that the recount is not going to overturn this.
What a 33,000 vote spread right now.
Yeah.
You know, what is just stunning, I guess, to me is the math across the country is 50-50. Almost everywhere you look, except for some states.
Well, Florida, what Fred was just talking about, would you say 33,000 separate them? And I'm looking at the totals so far, over 8 million votes cast. Mm-hmm. And 33,000 separate these two.
But it's been this way
yeah.
since Bush v. Gore, you know, the
yes.
hanging chads and all that. Mm-hmm. It's been, in Florida, it's been 50-50 on almost every statewide race of Senate and then governorship. But it's that way in Montana.
Yeah.
It's that way in Arizona. In Arizona, they're 50-50. They're tied
right.
out
mm-hmm.
there, basically. Mm-hmm. So many races were like that. Texas was closer than a lot of people
yeah.
thought it would be. Senator Cruz won another six-year term, but what did he win by? How many votes?
It was a couple of hundred thousand, but there were between 8 and 9 million people voted.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, so here's the bottom line. I mentioned it's a mixed bag. sound like Nancy Pelosi. yes.
But you're not Speaker of the House.
Oh, man. Yes.
Jesus loves me.
President Trump. Okay, Ed, let me finish here before you mock me. Yes, President Trump lost, and the Republicans lost to the Democrats, the House of Representatives. This is true. Historically speaking, or just by comparison, just for note, when you see the liberal media pundits saying this is a total reaction to the president's agenda, and the American people will not, do not favor him. Okay, President Trump lost. How many seats last
26.
Night? 26. If you want to say it that way, President Trump lost how many?
It might go up to 34 or 35 by the time some other seats are counted.
Okay, let's say 30,
okay.
just for argument's sake. Well, the President Obama in his midterm, 2010, mm-hmm. lost 60.
Mm-hmm. Right.
60 turned from Democrat to Republican.
That's right.
Double. Mm-hmm. The number that President Trump
President
and the Republicans
Clinton
lost,
also lost. I'll have to check on President Bush.
Oh, remember
President,
when Newt Gingrich came in during Gingrich?
Yes.
During Clinton's
1994.
Midterm?
That's right. The House
yeah.
swung to the Republicans for like
yeah.
the first time in 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but the, but President Obama also lost the Senate because six Senate seats switched from Democrat to Republican.
Ronald Reagan lost 27 House seats in 1982.
This is historically. It's typical. This is probably, as I say, this is probably about average to what happens historically. Now, so Nancy Pelosi will be the next House Speaker, although there's going to be an infighting, internal war, I think, in the Democrats about the future of the leadership in that party, but between the younger ones and the older ones.
I was watching last night. I couldn't help it after leaving here. I went home and watched another hour or two of commentary on both Fox and CNN. I wanted to get both takes.
Do you need the Visine?
No, I got my contacts in, but I do have the caffeinated soft drink here. And I was interested in the take on the part of CNN on the Speaker of the House race. Mm-hmm. And most of them said, yes, there is going to be, like you just said, Tim, going to be infighting. A lot of the younger, you know, more vigorous, more left-leaning, you know, progressives, whatever you want to call them, coming in are going to want a change in leadership. But they all seem to think that Nancy Pelosi has the skill to kind of cobble that together and use her influence to retain or to once again become Speaker of the House. So they all seem to think that, that challenge was not going to be able to surmount Nancy Pelosi's skill.
Well, I think every day Nancy Pelosi gets out there and talks in front of the media is a day that helps Republicans 2 years from now. That's my own view. Now, the other, I mentioned the bottom line, in the Senate, this was bad. This was a bad day for Democrats. Mm-hmm. You can't spin this. They lost, in Florida. They lost. I'm talking about Democrats flipped to Republicans. Missouri, Indiana, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Now, again, as you guys mentioned, outstanding is Arizona and
Montana.
But now Nevada did flip to Democrat.
Yes. But not a good night for Democrats in this sense. You saw what happened to Judge Brett Kavanaugh, right? Everybody, America saw what happened to him, what the Democrats are willing to do to try to stop a Supreme Court nominee by President Trump. Well, they can't do, they want, if it's 53-47, they're just not going to be able to pull that off next time.
Right.
They're not going to be able to Kavanaugh anybody. It will... This is huge as far as if you have an opening in the Supreme Court in the next year or two, then the president will get his nominee through.
Yeah.
And also the other federal judges are going to sail through. One more thing. I was talking to somebody in the know this morning, and they said a lot of the Trump administration's staffing underneath the cabinet.
Right. Vacancies.
Still vacancies that the Democrats have held up, and he's going to be able to get those through. So there's a lot of positives that are going to for President Trump and those who support him and conservatives by the change in the Senate, even if it's only 53-47.
Right. But I think one of the other things, too, the climate within the Republican senators is going to be more positive for President Trump. President Trump was not liked by Jeff Flake,
right?
Arizona Republican.
He hit it well, though.
Bob Corker.
In Tennessee.
Marsha Blackburn, who won last night in Tennessee, is a good friend of the president.
Right.
She's going to back him. Josh Hawley in Missouri is going to be behind the president, got the president's back. Rick Scott in Florida will have the president's back. So you're not going to have, the media is not going to be able to go to three or four of their favorite Republican senators who will openly knock the president.
Right.
That's not going to happen. The only exception may be, and I'm kind of anxious to see what Mitt Romney, who is the new senator from Utah, he and Trump have had kind of a tense relationship. I'm not sure whether he will now go out, Mitt Romney that is, go to the media microphones and say, I disagree with the president.
Yeah.
But the others who were elected last night are going to be cheerleaders for this
president. I thought Mitt Romney was from Massachusetts.
Oh, he moves around.
He's like Hillary Clinton. Pulled a Hillary Clinton. Well, he was governor of Massachusetts.
Yes.
So, and I'm not sure if he's got.
I think his family has been living in Southern California for a long time. He's got a big mansion down there.
He's very wealthy.
You call that a carpetbagger?
Is that what they used to call him? That's what they used to call him. But people are so mobile now. That's back when carpetbaggers, when people mostly, you know, were born and grew up and died in the same place and all their family.
What is a carpetbagger? I've heard that term.
Well, carpetbaggers were people who came from the North to the South during Reconstruction after the Civil War. And because, the Union had won, they had a lot of pro-Union people in. And the carpetbaggers came down and would buy up. Have you ever seen Gone with the Wind? And they'd buy up property because, you know, the economy was devastated. And they called them carpet because they brought these carpet bags, their suitcases. They'd get off the trains and they'd come in and start buying stuff up.
Ed, you came from Boston, didn't you?
Yeah. That is the Canadian calling the
kettle black.
Kettle black.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed and Fred.
Yes. The big difference is I don't have a big bag of money.
I don't know. I got it. Not that it matters, but I got a problem with these folks who move around trying to find a state to win in. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton was from Chicago. She married.
Remember, lifelong Cubs fan.
Yeah, she married, and then she switched. But then she married Bill Clinton and started talking like an Arkansan as best she could. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just hysterical to listen to her change her accents wherever
y'all,
she goes.
And then she decided,
I'm not going to be about stand by your man. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then after Clinton's second term, they moved to New York.
Yeah.
And she became a New Yorker and won the Senate in New York.
People don't care as much anymore.
Yankees fan. No, I know that they don't care because they elected her.
They want people to represent them that can get things done. That's probably what happened with Mitt Romney, former Massachusetts governor, presidential candidate. They say, yeah, we'll take him in Utah. He's Mormon.
If they win, obviously the people in that state don't care.
Right.
I'm just saying Hillary Clinton didn't know much about New York when she moved there.
Right. It was clear that she wanted to.
She was a national candidate. Yeah. This was her launching pad.
Exactly. But in terms of people in cities and states now, the population's so mobile. Well, you have on the right side, you got a Canadian. On the left side, you got a guy from Boston. And nobody's complaining, are they?
No. What I'm talking about is moving to a state for the sole purpose of running for Senate.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know what Mitt Romney's family. Maybe he's got five houses in Salt Lake City. I don't know. Maybe he's
Mormon.
I know that.
I think he lived in Salt Lake City for a while because he worked with the International Olympic Committee.
That's right.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
There.
He was there.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe, I'm just saying he ran for president as the former governor of Massachusetts, and I'm getting geographical whiplash following him all out to Utah. You talk about two different states.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he was elected by the people of Utah last night to be their to replace Orrin Hatch. True,
that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Because Orrin Hatch is retiring. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you don't like listening to us three, guess what? Abraham Hamilton III is coming on at 10:30. That's in about 7 or 8 minutes here on American Family Radio, and you can listen to him. By the way, I was looking at John Tester. He's that's the Montana Democrat incumbent.
Correct.
And you said, what's the score there now?
It's really close. I mean, we're talking
percentage-wise,
1,000 votes between the two of them. With
48.7% of the vote for Rosendale, 48.4% for Tester.
Yeah. With how many reported?
86% of the vote count.
Is that like delivered horseback in Montana? How do they get their votes in?
Now, see, you were making fun of Missouri last night. It took them forever.
Well, I'm going 84%. We're going on 12 hours. I mean, how long does it take?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. Now, my understanding was on Missouri. Remember, we kept saying, where's Missouri?
Right.
I think it was Missouri. I was watching. They have a state law that that once the polls close, they shut the doors of the polling stations, and then you have to allow all those people to vote before you can start releasing results. I think, I'm pretty sure it was Missouri. That was the reason why it took forever for them to get any results out, remember, after the polls closed.
And there were several cases yesterday, various locations, where one party went to a judge. There were like nine incidents where the judges ruled that the voting time had to be extended. Because people were so backed up, 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think there are places in Georgia people were waiting 3 and 4 hours lined up.
Yeah, they ran out of ballots, I think.
Ran out of ballots, and voting machines broke down and all of that kind of thing. So maybe that's
I'm good with that. I think they should, under those kinds of circumstances, you extend the voting hours until those folks can.
And in Montana, some of the voting machines froze.
Really?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, the Fox reporter was on reporting. Bless her heart, she was up all night. She was reporting live again this morning. She said there's snow on the ground here.
Oh, did she say it like that?
Oh, she said it like that. I don't think she's a Montana lady.
She'll be saying that this month, next month, the month after, and the month after. Until
April or May.
Folks in the upper Midwest know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But, hey, they learned to live with it and laugh at us weenies when we get 3 inches of snow.
Another Senate race interest in Mississippi.
Right. Yes.
Undecided.
There were two Senate races in Mississippi, right?
Yes, Roger Wicker.
There was an incumbent Republican, Roger Wicker, who won handily.
Yes.
And then the other one was a special election because, as Walker called it, a jungle.
It was a jungle primary.
Jungle election.
Open primary.
Because Senator Thad Cochran retired.
Yes.
And Governor Phil Bryant put in Cindy Hyde-Smith to be the senator, you know, while we waited for this special election. So what happened there?
Well, at the moment, again, it's very, very close with 97% of the vote in. Cindy Hyde-Smith has 41.4%. The Democrat, SB, has 40.8%. And McDaniel, who would be a Republican. The third, he had 144,000 votes roughly. So here's what's going to happen. Somebody had to get 50%. In that race
in order
last night.
To avoid a runoff.
That did not happen. So, what is it, two and a half, the first Monday after Thanksgiving?
I think 3 weeks from yesterday.
There will be a runoff. So
November 27th.
SB and Hyde-Smith, there will be a runoff between them on November 27th.
It won't be close. Cindy Hyde-Smith will blow him out, and she'll keep her job.
Yes.
But now, you said that's the day after Thanksgiving? That's a Friday?
The Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Tuesday after, okay.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
If it was 3 weeks from yesterday.
Yes, that's right. I don't know what I was thinking there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so this will fulfill the term. I think there's 4 years left in Cochran's term. So So that is this special election and this runoff now will determine who finishes Thad Cochran's term.
Couple of very high-profile celebrities got directly involved in campaigns. And when we get back, we're going to tell you how they fared, okay? Namely, Oprah Winfrey and Taylor Swift put it all on the line. And we're going to tell you when we get back.
I was familiar with Taylor Swift's
how their
music,
candidates
so
do
I
it.
Mock her
well,
with some rendition of one of her songs.
She's one of the top-selling artists of all time.
She's a political powerhouse, though, too.
Well, don't steal my thunder, Ed.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
You're getting close.
We don't know how it
We don't know how it turned out. I'm going to tell you when we get back from this time out. Also, as I said, Abraham Hamilton III will be along in just a few minutes. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We shall return in a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
Thank you. Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries.
Our country is enjoying, quite frankly, renewed prosperity, even security, but many are not happy. In fact, I maintain a dark cloud hangs over America, a cloud of lawlessness, rebellion, even anarchy.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the popularity of our spiritual heritage tours each year continues to grow. Those are our tours to Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips, but a lot of folks go on both of them. But the popularity continues to grow, and we sell out 2 or 3 months in advance every year. So we're letting you know when our June and September tours are. Just go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. There's two tours. There's one to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then there's a separate trip, but they're back-to-back to Washington, D.C., and to George Washington's Mount Vernon. So if you want to go on those tours with us, just go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com and check out all the info.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu.
The 2018 midterms are in the history books. Who won and why is still up for debate, but I do have a few observations. Robert Beto O'Rourke, a fourth-generation Irishman who adopted a Mexican nickname, spent more than $70 million to get beat by Senator Ted Cruz. Most of the campaign cash came from Hollywood, proving to the out-of-towners that it's best not to mess with Texas politics. In Florida and Georgia, Democrats who played the race card learned it was a losing hand. And Tennesseans made political history by electing Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn as the volunteer state first female senator. She defeated Democrat Phil Bredesen in a landslide blowout. Taylor Swift, who actively campaigned against Blackburn, may very well be writing her next Grammy Award-winning song about being let down by a guy named Phil. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate everybody who watched us on Facebook last night and our afr.net website and all those who listened across the country on 181 AFR radio stations to our coverage. We gave it all we had last night.
4 hours on the air.
What time did we start?
6:30.
Yeah, we were almost 4 hours on the air. So appreciate everybody's giving us an opportunity to share last night the results and the analysis that we were able to provide. Before we go to Abraham Hamilton III, a couple more thoughts on what happened last night, and we'll get Abe's thoughts on it. But I mentioned that we had two very well-known celebrities get into the races.
Which is their right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. Oprah Winfrey went down to Georgia. I said that last night.
And it is just as funny this morning.
Yeah,
it really is. I liked it.
I think it's a
Oprah
song.
Went down to Georgia. I can hear the violin right now. The fiddle,
Oprah went
whatever.
Down to Georgia. All right, so she campaigned for the Democratic gubernatorial.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it with all her star power, I'm talking about Oprah's, it appears that it's not going to be enough.
No.
Huh?
There's about 100, almost 100,000 votes between the two, Kemp and Abrams, right now.
Yeah. So, and then in Tennessee, the borders Georgia. You impressed with that geographical knowledge there I got?
Yes.
Tennessee, which borders Georgia, Taylor Swift, the world-renowned, I think she's Grammy-winning.
She's an astrophysicist? Singer. Oh, no, that's right, the singer.
Come on, Ed, man.
I was thinking of a different Taylor Swift.
Don't embarrass yourself, okay, and your family. You don't know who,
my family cannot be more embarrassed.
Okay, so Taylor Swift decided about 3 weeks ago or a month ago.
It was
she is one of the top selling recording artists of all time. I mean, Taylor Swift is. So she has a huge voice.
She has 112.8 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah, probably has that many dollars too.
Yeah.
But how many followers on Twitter?
112.8, almost 113 million followers.
I dare say if we were on Twitter, the three of us, she would probably outdo us, all three combined.
They'd probably be more than twice what I had.
Yeah, yeah, if you were on Twitter.
Yeah, if I was on.
But she got involved in politics directly by slamming Marsha Blackburn.
Yes.
The Republican candidate for senator in...
Said her voting record terrifies her.
It was so over the top, just so ridiculous. And
appalls and terrifies me. Said.
She doesn't even know what her voting record is.
She doesn't.
She doesn't. And she's originally from Pennsylvania, moved to Tennessee, and
she also said Marsha Blackburn
believes in New York, I think.
Believes businesses have a right to refuse service to gay couples.
Okay, listen to that.
Wrong. Huh? It's a lie.
What did she say? This is her tweet a few weeks ago. Where she's slamming Marsha Blackburn.
She's talking about her voting record, which appalls and terrifies her, and she says Marsha Blackburn believes businesses have a right to refuse service to gay couples.
Yeah. Okay, that's not true.
Of course it's not true.
But anyway.
That's what.
So Taylor Swift got involved, and I was talking with a friend of mine who's very, very, very close to the Blackburn campaign.
Yeah.
I can't reveal exactly how close, but I said very, very three times, I think. So you get the idea. And
yes.
he said that's when the campaign turned.
Really?
When Taylor Swift got on board with the Democrat candidate there, Phil Bredesen, the former governor, that's when Marsha's numbers started going up. So it actually worked in reverse.
That's
Taylor Swift, according to him, hurt the Democrat governor.
Might have caused a lot of voters to start focusing on the election for the first time.
True, well, and you have the factor, and we're all susceptible to this one, aren't we? Nobody's telling me how to vote. You know what I'm saying?
And the good people of Tennessee, I think that's why they reacted. Now, you're going to have some in the music industry there in Nashville that would follow along with Taylor Swift. But you move outside of Nashville, and you're going to have a tough time trying to convince people that Marsha Blackburn.
She blew him out. Marsha Blackburn blew him out.
Absolutely.
Last night. And I was saying, Marsha Blackburn, I couldn't be happier for a person. To win. I was honored, my wife and I, to be her guest, Marsha Blackburn's guest, at the National Prayer Breakfast 3 years ago or whenever
it was. She's a solid, committed Christian.
Yeah.
Solid conservative.
Yeah.
Pro-life warrior.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, quite frankly, it helps the Republican Party to have a few female spokespersons.
Yeah.
Other than Sarah Sanders.
She was interviewed on Fox and Friends, Marsha Blackburn, this morning. She said, hey, I've broken through the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Because this is the mantra from the left, the feminist movement. And we need people to break through the glass ceiling, the cement ceiling. Marsha Blackburn says, I've been doing that for years.
She's very articulate, too. She'll do well.
Yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Abraham Hamilton III is in studio with us. He's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock. And he's also serves us here as public policy analyst for American Family Association. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. Fred.
I'm digging the blue bow tie, man.
Hey.
That's cool.
Ooh, didn't notice it. Because you wear them a lot.
Blue.
I like that color. I like blue.
Not an indication of my political leaning.
Or your feelings this morning.
Or my feelings. No, they are not.
Hey, what do we? We got divided government again here.
Yeah, we do.
What about it? Is that good or bad?
Yeah, well, you know, I come from the school of political thought that a government that does nothing is better than one that does too much. So in that sense, I am not dismayed. However, some of the big ticket items of the Trump agenda will be shelved, at least for the time being. The border wall being one of the main issues that a lot of people were concerned about. That's gone for the time being. But
that wasn't going to get passed anyway.
Because of Republicans.
Well, yeah, but Republicans, even if the Republicans had passed it in the House, we've talked about this 1,000 times, but even if the Republicans had passed, quote, border wall funding in the House, which is hard to get through.
Right.
In the Senate, it takes 60 votes to get any legislation passed.
Well, they could have used reconciliation.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I don't think that Republican leadership in the Senate wants the wall. I don't think they want the wall.
Right. Right. So
anyway,
saying we've had 2 years of Republicans in the House and the Senate, and there's some border wall money, there's some, but there's not much. But to your point, Abe, that's dead in the water.
Yeah. And so what's happening, what I was about to say is that now there's additional cover for those who never really wanted the wall to never really want the wall. So you have that. Conversely, on the Senate side, you have the Republicans expanding their majority there. I know there are a couple races that are still right now not called yet or whatever, but it seems like the Republicans are going to pick up maybe four, if maybe even shortly, four seats on the Senate side.
What we're hearing is with the Democrats now in control of the House, they can launch a bunch of investigations, further investigations, you know, Trump's tax returns, more investigation on alleged Russian collusion, blah, 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 blah. So, but still, I mean, can they really do much in that vein? I mean, the DOJ doesn't have to listen to everything the House might recommend. Talk a little bit about that.
No, they don't. They're under no obligation to accept recommendations from the House of Representatives. And I think if the Democrats choose to go that route, I think it will backfire on them in 2020.
Yeah.
I think the American people really don't take too kindly to an agenda that is nothing other than hate the president personally.
Whichever side.
Yeah, no matter what side it is. Yeah. I don't think
there's some political analysts who think that Republicans made the same mistake in 1994 when they flipped the House in an historic election, took the House for the first time in 40 years. This is 2 years after President Bill Clinton was elected in 1992. And Newt Gingrich and the Republicans thought that was a mandate to go after the president, and they did, and he was reelected in 1996. So there are some people who are saying the Democrats don't make the same mistake.
Yeah.
That's not why people voted for you to spend the next 2 years harassing the president. They want Congress to get something done.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be able to resist their temptation to take that bait. So I do think they're going to go for it.
Yeah.
And the true nature.
We're talking Maxine Waters here.
Yeah, people. I mean, the true nature of the Kavanaugh character assassination, the true nature of the manufacturing of collusion, the true nature of the Democrat Party is going to get the best of them, primarily because their base is going to demand it.
What about all this talk about, and this is kind of, I guess, part of what Fred was asking, but let me just ask it specifically. Can a House committee subpoena the president's tax records and in some legal way force him to turn them over?
And follow up to that is, who cares? Go ahead.
The House of Representatives, their committees, the various committees do have subpoena power. However, when it comes to the executive, that subpoena power is going to be curbed. So any expectation that they will be able to force the president to basically abandon executive privileges that he has as a president of the United States of America will be futile at best. And it'll be ultimately smoked out as nothing more than a dog and pony show.
Yeah. What percentage of voters out there across America last night went to the polls going, you know what, I've got to see Trump's tax returns?
No, I think that's
I'm voting Democrat. Yeah. I'm voting Democrat. I'm torn here between Republican and Democrat, but because I want to see Trump's tax returns from 1987 so badly, I'm going Democrat.
It was the same thing.
They have no legal basis to require them.
I see your point.
They're wanting to create some kind of scandal against the president. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yes. The Democrats do. want to do, but I'm just saying I don't think even the average Democrat out there cares about that at this point.
Well, to that point, right. I think what's going to happen is President Trump's going to say, no, I'm under no legal obligation to turn them over. And what Democrats are going to do is they're going to pound away in the media. Hey, we want to see him. What's he trying to hide?
He's hiding something. He's hiding something.
And it's going to be eerily reminiscent to those who accuse President Obama, the birth certificate. We want to see the birth certificate, and we want to see his college papers. What's he trying to hide? Now, folks, please don't email me. I'm not trying to open that can of worms again. But to your point, most voters don't care. They didn't care back then under President Obama, and I don't think they're going to care and might become very frustrated with Democrats who spend their time saying, we want his tax returns.
Let me talk about something very positive here from our perspective, and that is judges. Hmm. If you just want to look at what happened last night, and of course, a couple of Senate seats yet to be determined, let's just say that conservatively speaking, the Republicans pick up two. Let's say it stops today. Let's say the Democrats win Montana and Arizona, which those very races are very much up in the air. Then we have a 53-47 margin, true?
So you could lose Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and be fine.
Yeah. So President Trump is about to get all the judges through that he wants, and there's nothing that the Democrats can do to stop him.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. And that, let me tell you something, the Democrats may be celebrating before the cameras today, but the real hardcore activists of the Democrat Party and the money behind them, they're not completely happy right now. They had a yay, but I'm talking about behind closed doors. They're not going to do this out publicly because they wanted to stop President Trump's judicial appointments, especially the idea of Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Stephen Breyer stepping down or dying in office, and then Trump and the Republicans get to appoint another Supreme Court justice, and this time there's no way to Kavanaugh the person because 53-47 is not 51-49. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I was reading this last night. The president gets to appoint all these federal appellate court judges, right underneath the Supreme Court, which quite frankly, the federal judges underneath the Supreme Court, they decide 97-98% of all federal court cases.
Right.
Only 2% go to the Supreme Court, I think, or maybe less.
Annually, the Supreme Court hears about 100 cases.
Okay,
so
there you go.
The appellate courts hear about 30,000.
Most of them, they decline and let the lower court decision stand. So those judges do matter as well. So as far as warning conservative judges on the federal court, last night was great news. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right. And it literally paves the way for whatever the president wants to do in terms of the federal judiciary. There is absolutely nothing the Democrat Party can do to stop it. Nothing. Because, like I said, the only two, when Bob Corker is replaced with Marsha Blackburn.
Right.
And you add two additional, Mike Braun replaces Joe Donnelly, and you have an additional Republican United States Senator. The best hope they could have is Lisa Murkowski and
Susan Collins
voting with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And to that, the Republican caucus will say, big whoop.
Yeah. Mm.
Hey, did you see where Scott Walker lost in Wisconsin, Fred?
Yeah.
That was overnight. He was ahead.
He was ahead when I went
to bed. When we were finished, and I went to bed. So
He's a two-time governor of
three.
This is his fourth.
Elected, recall, win, and then elected.
Why'd he lose, Fred?
I'm not sure. At some point, I think the steps that he took to curb the state budget, to bring it, to rein it in, and take control away from the labor unions in Wisconsin, he was successful initially, but I guess it just swung back to the left, to the labor unions, and they worked hard against him.
It's a fairly liberal state.
Wisconsin, it's surprising he's been governor.
Right.
Because he's a conservative Republican, mm-hmm. and he may, you know, who knows? We may hear from him again sometime.
Good man.
President Trump might look at him for a place in his administration now. Mm-hmm. Scott Walker, I'm talking about. But that was interesting. Were you surprised? What? Anything else surprise you?
Well, no, I won't say surprised. I was very happy to see that the states of Florida and Georgia have rejected socialism. I know Stacey Abrams has not conceded the race as of yet, but it appears that
it's a big spread.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there's over 100,000 votes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's not 10,000.
Yeah.
You know, I was happy to see that. But at the same time, it was disconcerting for me to see how close Andrew Gillum got in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is an out and out socialist.
Yeah.
And yet he was able to carry so many votes in Florida. That doesn't bode well with me. And I also.
I have the state of Florida. Do they want socialism?
Well, that's what it appears based on their support for Andrew Gillum in terms of those who voted.
Yeah.
Because when we say socialism, we're talking basically about a much bigger role of government involvement in public and private.
Yeah.
And much higher taxation.
Yes.
So.
Redistribution of wealth.
And regulations.
Regulations. Confiscation of wealth.
It's basically moving to way more towards state control in the name of, now the socialist will say, I don't know if this gentleman calls himself a socialist or not, that's still kind of a bad word politically, but they will say, you know, yes, we need all these things to, in the name of protecting the people and funding the government because these businesses are getting away without having to pay taxes, and that's not fair and
right.
For the little man. I mean, they have their ways of spinning it.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what was interesting about Florida was the polls showed the Senate race and the gubernatorial race going to Democrats as late as Monday, right?
Yep, that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. So, you mean in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were there.
It was Tuesday afternoon when I was looking at the polls.
You mean yesterday afternoon?
Yes, prepping my material for our evening together. They were still predicting it late yesterday, mid-afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a surprise. I was going to ask Abe, what do you think about we now have the nation's first open homosexual governor in Colorado.
Did he make a big deal of that?
Oh, he did amongst the LGBTQ community. He made a huge deal about it. And my immediate thought process is Mr. Jack Phillips. You know, they've reopened the investigation on Jack Phillips. He's been he's been brought before the same Colorado Ethics Commission again.
You're talking about the florist.
No, the baker.
The baker.
Yeah. In Colorado.
He was exonerated by the Supreme Court.
He was exonerated by the Supreme Court, and he's been basically brought up on the exact same charges. This time, instead of being accused of declining service to a homosexual couple, it is declining service to a transgender individual who wanted Jack Phillips to bake that cake. So mm-hmm. The reason why I say that, it confirms the state government's focus on squelching dissent in that state and making what I refer to as a sexual deviancy political agenda the orthodoxy of the state of Colorado.
Well, because this transgender individual went to Jack Phillips and said, I want a cake for my new gender reveal coming out, made a big thing of making it clear that this was a cake to celebrate, I don't remember if it was him or her.
Celebrating him becoming a her.
Yes.
He wanted it blue on the outside and pink on the inside.
And so it is clearly a setup to bring Jack Phillips once again into the crosshairs.
Hey, let me ask you guys something here. President Trump, let's see, he said, this is from Yahoo News. It says, President Trump will soon be on the receiving end of something he didn't see much from Republican-led Congress, and that is orders backed up by subpoenas for officials to answer questions on controversial policies like the dispatch of thousands of troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. And what they're talking about is Democrats basically using their new chairmanship power to harass the president, his administration. Anyway, President Trump tweeted, two can play that game, with an exclamation point. I guess he means
the Senate.
the Senate.
The Senate will start investigating, you know, controversial Democratic stuff.
I personally think they can just, the best thing to do for both parties, well, especially for, just, is just to go home for a couple of years.
let them still draw their paycheck.
Save it. Yeah. Just go home and
to Abe's point, the less they do, the better.
They're not going to be able to do anything. Somebody said this morning President Trump should veto things, and I'm not opposed to the veto pen.
Right.
It's a constitutional way the president has to respond to legislation he doesn't like. I don't think he's going to have to use a veto pen. I don't think anything's going to get passed at all. Nothing. And Abe likes it that way.
Well, I don't like it, but in terms of having a government passing progressive policies, secular progressive policies,
right,
or no policies, pick no policies for certain.
Yeah.
So I'm
just going to say, I kind of disagree. I think that the Democrats are going to fall into the trap of saying, we won. Yeah, it wasn't the blue wave because we didn't take the Senate, but it was a significant rebuke to the president and the House. The spending bills come out of the House. I think you're going to find spending bills coming out of the House chock full of progressive dreams.
Yeah.
And the Senate's going to say no.
Right.
And the House leadership is going to say, then you're shutting down the government. And I think that's what's going to happen.
And I think you're right, because remember under President Obama, what was the description of Congress? An obstructionist Congress.
Yes.
That's going to come back around. And the main reason why I think you're right, Ed, is because the energy within the Democrat Party is the radical extreme lefties.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is where the money is. Mm-hmm. That is where the support is on the ground. So they are going to demand it of the members of the House of Representatives. But I think that is going to backfire on them. And I think that will be something that results in the Republicans winning in 2020.
I can see what you're saying being happening. I just think, it's not going to get passed. I don't think. The Republicans can block anything in the Senate.
Right.
And the president can veto. You're just not going to get anything passed that the Republicans don't want to allow.
But I think the Democrats are good with that. I think they're good with the Senate saying no to all the great progressive things these Democrats want to pass.
Such as what?
No, I'm just saying whatever they put into the spending bills, they're going to say, look what these Republicans are doing. They're denying you X, Y, and Z.
I can't think of anything but one issue that would fall into that category that the Democrats could use as a winning issue against the Republicans.
Oh, paying off college debt. I mean, those kinds of things, those dream things, DACA stuff. I mean, I'm just saying,
some kind of health care reform.
Medicare for everybody.
Raising.
I think that's the one issue they could win on to beat up the Republicans over not doing anything about. They're going to say, you know,
pre-existing conditions is something they yacked about.
Yeah. Democrats. I would agree that the Republicans will yield on something like that just to get it out of the way. But all in all, I don't think, you know, nothing's going to change except for the harassment, basically, that the Democrats are going to do for 2 years of the president. And as Abe said, that's likely to backfire if that's all they do.
Right.
That's all they do. But if you voted for President Trump, first and foremost, because of the Supreme Court and federal judges, then you're happy today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're happy today. I'm just saying that. Now, there are many other priorities that people consider when they go to vote. We all do. But that's right at the top of the list for most of our listeners, I think. Abe, are you going to have Fred, Ed, and me on your show?
Do you guys want to come on?
Okay.
All right. At 5 o'clock?
No, we go home. Abe, thank you.
My pleasure, guys.
Abraham Hamilton III joining us. We'll take a break. Ed, Fred, thank you for your contributions.
You bet.
Steve Jordahl, we'll substitute for Fred, or tag team with him, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.